This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, one of my friends, a rarity in that he reflects and asks good questions. He asked me, he said, Sheikh Yaver, how do we reinvigorate people's love for the masjid and have it be a unified place for Muslims' education? And he quoted, he said, as Imam Muhammad al-Ghazali, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says in Egypt, the masjid is the heart of the Muslim community and the factory of champions. Despite the meager foundations and small masajid back at the time of the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, we had champions who carried Islam around the world and left their thumbprints to this day. Lovely question. The answer is very simple. It's not love of the masjid or what happens in the masjid, but love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about this. Why do you go to a house? To meet a person, right? Unless you are going to a monument or to a tomb which is dead. You go to the house to meet the person who lives there. Now think of someone who has a very beautiful house and you go to meet him. But when you reach there, you discover that he's not home. Now what is your feeling? Are you disappointed? Or do you say, no problem, it's okay. He has a basketball hoop in the yard and a swimming pool and so on. So let me shoot a few hoops and jump into the pool. So what if I couldn't meet him? Now if you said that, then what would anyone with any sense, what would they tell you? And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. He didn't say, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Allah said, worship the Rabb of the Bayt. Worship the Rabbul Bayt. And this Bayt, which is the Kaaba. This is the problem with our Dawah. We invite to the house, not to Allah. That is why Allah Mayabal rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, شَوْقْ تَرَا أَغَرْ نَهُ Meri namaz ka imam, shauk tera agar na ho, meri namaz ka imam, mera qiyam bhi hijab, mera sujood bhi hijab. He said, if your love, he's talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, Ya Rab, if your love is not the imam of my salah, then my qiyam is a cover and my sujood is also a cover. Now, let's think about this in this month of Ramadan al-Kareem. When people love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are attracted to His houses. Today, people come to the masjid because they want to go to the gym or to play a game or because there is some fancy sheikh who is speaking there and they are going to check out the sheikh and to maybe pick some faults in his taqreer or gather some stories and anecdotes which they can go and tell stories and in their, use in their own bayans or something or some other activity. The masjid today is the alternative. Now these are the words people tell me. The masjid today is the alternative to MGM or a disco or a frat party. We even say this quite shamelessly. Let them come to the masjid at least instead of going to the disco or the bar. Now imagine the comparison. That's why we must create something in the masjid that is a halal version of the disco to attract people. What kind of thing is this? What kind of a statement is that? What kind of thinking is that? That is why when a lecture is detailed, a little bit longer, people get tired of listening and they want to shorten it. But have you ever heard of anyone who wanted World Cup football or Super Bowl or NBA or something to be restricted to just 10 minutes? But we hear that all the time for every khatira or bayan. If we loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would realize that we are being rewarded for every second of our presence in the talk. Those hasanat will be on our scales on the Day of Judgment, where one single hasana could mean the difference between Jannah and Jahannam. We would know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning us by name on His arsh, that the malaika are present with us and will bear witness for us when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to forgive all those who are engaged in His dhikr, even the passerby who stopped. We know this hadith. Whereas the time we spend watching Super Bowl or whatnot is at best mubah, neither good nor bad, and much more likely to fall into makruh, or maybe parts of it even into haram, especially if it leads to delaying or even missing salah. Now, just tell me that doesn't happen. Huh? Now, we must begin at the beginning, which is to know and to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, over and above anyone and anything else. From that comes the love of the Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If the heart is responsive to this, then the slave loves the masjid. As I mentioned, it is not what happens in the masjid. It is why you go there. If you go there for the activity, then there is no difference between going to the masjid and going anywhere else. If you go there to talk about Allah, to worship Allah, to learn about Him Jalla Jalaluhu, to connect to Him, to seek to please Him, you won't find standing place in the masjid, just like you don't find standing place in Super Bowl. I hate to make this comparison, but I am forced to do that to help people to relate to the activities that they do today. It all boils down to what you see as your need. When we have a need, we don't need an invitation. Nobody goes to the hospital because he likes the decor or because he was invited. He goes there because he has a need. And he knows that if he doesn't go, he will suffer pain or maybe he will die. People in our home countries, they stand in long lines on the pavement outside the US embassy to get a visitor visa. Nobody invited them. They must pay for it. Then they must buy a ticket and pay for the trip. But they are willing to do all that because they see it as their need. Do we see Jannah as our need? Seriously, need. Or just as a nice to have thought. If we see it as our need, why do we need inducements and invitations to go to the house of Allah and ask Him to give us a visa to Jannah? When you love somebody, that love is the inducement. You don't need frequent flyer miles or loyalty points to go to meet that person. You don't look at your watch when you are, or your phone when you are listening to them. You don't think of what else you could be doing, where else you could have been, whose company you are missing, because you are with your beloved. Being with your beloved is the prize, is your reward, is your gain. You don't need anything else. If your beloved said to you, "Thank you for coming, here is $100 for your trouble," you wouldn't take that money. I would feel insulted to be offered money to meet someone that I love. The meeting itself is a reward. But to visit the house of Allah, we want rewards and inducements. While we are there, we are thinking of what we are missing and where else we could have been. All the rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us without asking are not enough for us. We take them for granted. Maybe they don't even register. Is this a sign of love? Do we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What will we say when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us if we truly loved Him? On that day, my brothers and sisters, it is not our smooth talking that will help us. Our hands and feet, our eyes and ears, our body will speak. And it will say what we made it do. After all, didn't we hear what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said? فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, therefore remember me, make my zikr, and I will remember you. And be grateful to me for all my favors, and never be ungrateful to me. Did we not hear this? What is the value of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He would mention us? Allah is mentioning me on His arsh. Does this register? Does this have value for me? Imagine that Allah is saying, that is my slave Umar, who is talking about me. That is my slave Zayd. Listen to him reciting my kalam. Rasulullah said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala waits to listen to his slave recite his kalam. It's like waiting for in the days of the radio, you're waiting for the radio to, the channel to come online. And when the slave comes online, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws the attention of his muqarrabeen, the malaika who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the voice of his slave, and mentions that slave by name. Do we believe that? Do we believe what Rasulullah told us? Have we not heard the hadith about the gatherings for the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In the hadith in Musnad Imam Ahmad, Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah said, no people gather to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only desiring by their gathering, His countenance. Except that it will be announced for them in the heavens. Stand forgiven. Your bad deeds have been replaced with good deeds. Not just forgiven, they have been replaced with good deeds because they gathered to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not enough for us. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah said, no people gather to remember Allah but that the angels surround them, cover them with mercy, send tranquility upon them, and mention them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala among those near to Him. And this is in Sahih Muslim. I ask myself if I am aware of this when I am in such a gathering. And if I am, then how can I get tired of being there? Am I aware or am I not aware? How can I want it to be shortened? How can I leave except with a genuine sense of loss and tears in my eyes? All of us know the answers to these questions. I don't ask them to get answers, but to remind myself of what my focus should be. Remember, no matter how good a shot you may be, you will only hit what you aim at. You can't aim at something in front of you and expect to hit something behind you. And that is why we have the first hadith in Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Amir al-Mumineen, Abu Hafs, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, who said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, actions are according to intentions, and everyone will get what he intended. Whoever migrates for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the migration will be for the sake of Allah and His Messenger. Whoever migrates for worldly gain or to marry a woman, then his migration will be for the sake of what he migrated for. Right? Innama al-a'malu binniyat. We know this hadith. Niyyah is not the only thing. Niyyah is everything. Without the right niyyah, the action is wasted and may even be harmful. The root cause of all this is that we have lost the plot with respect to knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of getting close to Him, of building a relationship with Him. Who is Allah? Who is Allah? Think about this. There is a little bird called the black-capped chickadee. It is the state bird of Massachusetts. It is smaller than a sparrow. It's a resident bird, which means that it doesn't migrate. It doesn't migrate south in the winter and lives through our brutal winters with temperatures sometimes 20 below. As I am writing this khutbah, it is snowing and it's the second day with temperatures of 10 to 13 below. And as I look out my window, what do I see? A black-capped chickadee taking a single seed of black oil sunflower from the feeder and flying off to eat it. Why only one seed? That's all she can hold in her beak. She flies at full speed, breaks in flight to land perfectly and gracefully like a snowflake on the feeding bar. Then she pokes her head into the feeder, picks a seed and flies off again full speed. I always wondered why and how she never crashes into the feeder because her air brakes didn't work. I marvel at the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this little miracle which lives through this winter and is unfazed by snow or ice. You know what is the meaning of minus 20? Minus 20 means that if I go out into that weather without proper clothing, without insulation and so on and so forth, and I take a nice deep breath, my lungs will freeze and turn into ice and I will die. And that bird, this big, this is Allah. This is Ahsanul Khaliqeen, the best of the one who creates. As I watch the snowfall, I remind myself of the research of Wilson Snowflake. It was called Snowflake. His name was given Snowflake. Wilson Bentley, was born in 1865 and died in 1931, who over 40 years photographed thousands of individual snowflakes and perfected the innovative photomicrographic techniques, which prove that every snowflake is different in structure. Every snowflake. Now I ask myself, why? What if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created all snowflakes alike? Like an extrusion process where everything is exactly the same. We don't know anyway. How many of us are looking at individual snowflakes and photographing them? If Wilson Bentley had not done this amazing piece of research, who would have known that the texture of every snowflake is different? Likewise, why the variety in sunsets and sunrises? I know we'll talk about the difference in atmospheric content and refraction of light and all of this stuff. That is how it happens. That's not why it happens. Likewise, the variety in birds and animals and insects and plants, why the variety in people? Their colors, their temperaments, their talents, including their ability to irritate others. Why the variety in our emotions and thoughts and actions? Why the variety in languages and colors and shapes and textures and sounds? And I haven't even begun to cover everything above the earth, let alone the entire alien world that exists beneath the waves of the oceans. And what to say about the skies? All that we can see and far more that we cannot see. I can go on forever, and yet it will not end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the witness. He said, وَآتَاكُم مِّن كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. Allah said, and He gave you all that you asked for, and if you count the blessings of Allah, never will you be able to count them. Verily, man is indeed an extreme wrongdoer and a disbeliever. Do we reflect on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us? Do we see how it applies to us? And ask why. Always ask why. Only then can we understand the wisdom behind it. Did we reflect on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said? هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا ثم استوى إلى السماء فسواهن سبع سماوات وهو بكل شيء عليم. He it is who created for you all that is on the earth. Then He made istiwa towards the heaven and made them seven heavens. And He is the all-knower of everything. Just think about that. Think about this ayah. Allah says He is the one who created for you all that is on the earth. Why? Ya Rab, why? For me? Why for me? We all know the answer. So that we can recognize Him and thank Him and worship Him. So that we can obey Him and follow the beautiful sunnah of His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that with this understanding we can illuminate our hearts with the noor of His glory and majesty and drive out all the shadows and darkness of doubt, the darkness of anxiety and depression and fear and apprehension, so that we can love Him and thank Him as it is His right to be loved and thanked. But do we do that? Do we do these things? That is what we must revive in our minds and hearts and lives, to reflect. That is the most important habit to inculcate. We owe it to ourselves to take time out simply to reflect, to sit without disturbance or distraction and reflect on the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to read His book and marvel at His words, not just translation. There's a huge mistaken idea that translation and meaning are the same thing. It's not the same thing. Not by a long shot. Translation is translation. It's just the same word in another language. Meaning is, what does it mean to me deep down in my soul? What am I willing to pay for it? To look around at His creation and remind ourselves that He told us that He created this for us. How thankful should we be for that? How thankful should we be for that? And to remind ourselves that no matter what, one day we must leave it all to meet Him. It is up to us how we want that day to be. We must create the circumstances for His mercy and seek His forgiveness. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do the deeds that will make that day the best day of our lives. Now, brothers and sisters, seriously, let us reflect on this love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu that is so missing in our lives. That's why I want to end with this. One of my favorite hadiths says that Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu relates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once passed by a Bedouin who was making the following dua in his salah. And I translate, he said, O the one whom eyes cannot see, who cannot be imagined, who is beyond description, who is unaffected by happenings, who cannot be overwhelmed by the twists and turns of time, who knows the weight of the mountains, the volume of the oceans, the number of falling raindrops, the number of leaves on the trees, and everything upon which night darkens and upon which the day brightens. No sky can hide another from him. No surface of the earth can hide another from him. No ocean can hide anything within its depths from him. And no mountain can conceal from him anything within its rocks. Make the last part of my life the best. Make the best of my deeds the last. And make my best day be the one when I meet you. Think about, just listen before I go to the continue with the hadith. Just think about the kind of reflection, the kind of thinking that this beautiful man was engaged in. Do we think about drops of water and individual raindrops? Last week I was at Baypath University in Longmeadow, and I said to them, Longmeadow, where we are now, has a land area of 10 square miles. That is 35,200 acres. And 1 inch of rain on 1 acre weighs 113 tons, 113. Longmeadow has had 5.5 inches of rain this year. That is 3,977,600 tons. 3,977,600 tons. Of water this year. Now think about this. All this water came in the form of individual drops or snowflakes. What if 3,976,600 tons of water had dropped from the sky from a height of 10,000 feet in one colossal sheet? There would be no Longmeadow. How therefore should we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who not only sends what we need, but sends it in a way that reflects His love and mercy. This reflection is what has gone from us. This is what is wrong with our da'wah. And this is what we need to correct. To bring this back into our lives. To live lives which are alive. To live lives which are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To live like thinking, reflecting, intelligent people. Not just, you know, moronic robots who are constantly seeking stimulation, stimulation, stimulation. And we think dawah is to create more stimulation in the masjid. Reflection is to cut off stimulation and connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to His love and to His glory and to His majesty, to His khashiyah, which when in the heart, with sincerity, then converts into hubb, into His love. And this is the basis, the foundation of reliance, of tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the force, the life force that makes us winners in this life and the next. رَبَّنَا زَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَا مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَآلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ